Luke 24, a favorite section of Scripture, for sure. We're going to begin reading in verse 13 and go to verse 32. It's the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. These two disciples surely must have had a most profitable journey, for Christ accompanied them along the way. Verse 13 of Luke 24, "And behold, two of them," that is the disciples, "went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, he said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then Christ said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." Stop right there for a minute. And Melinda and I have been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. You would think as many miracles, the loaves, the feeding from of just a couple fishes and loaves, raising a few folks from the dead, it had never been done, never been seen, and has never been seen since. And all the miracles that Christ had done, you would think they were his disciples. That is, one who follows after the way of Christ. You would think that they would believe. What about us? How slow are we to believe all that the Word says? We doubt faith, and then it brings forth fear. And then it's subject to reason, and then the things that you see and hear people say, or the news or whatever, and we just throw out the Scriptures. God's sovereign, but no. They saw these things. They handled, as John says, the Word of life. O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. That's all they had. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures. Now I'm going to look at one verse, and that is verse 27. That will be our text. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Christ, expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. You'll notice in verse 27, the statement of which three points we will venture to look at into for this morning for our use and edification. The first thought is he expounded unto them. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. Expounded, that word literally means to translate or to thoroughly explain. Wouldn't you have been sitting in on that lesson, this lesson? When we communicate, teachers or otherwise, to someone, in the sense given here, we explain, we try to thoroughly tell the meaning or give the sense of this book. When we're talking to somebody about the gospel or whatever, if we're just normally communicating with somebody, we gotta, define, and we have to give the sense, and we have to try to thoroughly explain. With this book, when we speak with somebody, which we desire to, with respect to Christ, we desire to speak regarding his person, his work, and his worth, because all the Scriptures are about him. He's the only one that will do any of us at any time any good. Not philosophies, not men's reasons, not declarations of faith, but him and him alone. He is the Savior. We are the ones in desperate need of saving. He is the great physician. We are the ones who are sick and dying. We're dying patients. He's the glorious and great shepherd. And we, the elect, the remnant, the church, are the lost sheep who have gone astray. So he expounds. He translates. He thoroughly explains. So Christ assumes, here in our lesson, the role of a teacher. The role of a teacher. The role of a preacher. The best of teachers. Job says he's one among a thousand. He's the one in whom all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom reside. And no one even says our enemies. In John chapter 7 verse 46, even our enemies said, never man spake like this man. So when he speaks, and he speaks like Bruce said very well this morning in Bible class, he speaks through his people. We are ambassadors as though God did beseech you by us. And when you go out, I'm not just a preacher, but believers. What you see, the qualifications, one man said, the qualifications of a bishop, elder, and deacons, they're qualifications for all believers. They really are. So, if you can't speak, if you have tongue tied, or if you don't feel like, give them a card, invite them to hear the word. Invite them to hear the word. Because as we saw this morning, this gathering together, it's conducive. Because it's not a give and take forum. I'm done and Nathan stands up and he starts telling what he thinks. No, it's done in order as the Scriptures prescribe. We submit to the authority of the word. Everybody does, not just you all. Everybody, I do. But Christ here assumes the position of a teacher. He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. He's not ashamed to speak the truth to just two people. And I got thinking about this, and this kind of to two people. Where somebody said, where two or three are gathered this morning, he's there with them. Gathered together. We're two or three. And we're going to think it's below our dignity to preach the gospel to one or two or three people. Oh, that's not a church. I don't know. We've seen days like that. We sure have. He speaks to two people, to two friends, to two acquaintances, to two country folk. No, he will speak, proclaim, and declare to any that the Father brings his way, or any that the Father assigns. You go to work, you go shopping, you go wherever you go, the Lord brings people by. And if he assigns you to speak with them, You speak with them. Let us listen to what he teaches as he opens unto us, to our feeble understanding, the mystery of the gospel of substitution, regeneration from death to life, from poverty to his riches, from his love to our unloveliness, his purity to our leprosy. Oh, may he be made unto us the very wisdom of God, or I fear we will be left to our worldly wisdom, which in the eyes of God is foolishness. We must have the wisdom of God. And even these believers, this is what I, it's so beautiful. Even these believers, he says in verse 45, then opened he, Christ opened their eyes of understanding that they might understand the scriptures, the things that he was expounding concerning himself. So even a believing sinner, God has to do something for him. You talk about free will all you want to. God's will is going to be done. His will is going to be done. And even a believer, there's times that we, which we see when we're going through the Old Testament studies, the Joshua, Judges, that's us all over. So let us listen as he teaches. May he be made unto us wisdom, his wisdom. That's the first thought. The second thought is, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he declared, he translated, he explained, thoroughly explained unto them in all the scriptures. Now that word scripture means literally in the Greek, holy writ. Now remember, they did not have the New Testament. It wasn't that he just had the Old Testament. The Old Testament types, the Old Testament pictures, the Old Testament prophets. Men speak. Men pontificate upon many useless, vain, and empty things. Not so with the high and lofty Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks from the best of books. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. He speaks from the best of books. And though at this time it wasn't fully completed, and I do admit there are many good books, but this is the best book. Learn this book before you learn Bunyan and Gill and Luther and Zwingli, any of these guys. And if they were, like I always say, if they were alive today, I would fellowship with them. They are my brethren. But get to know this book. This is what Christ referred to when he was expounding to them. It says in the scriptures and for 2 Timothy, this book can make one wise unto salvation if it's touches a person by the Holy Spirit. You can't just read it and, okay, I'm going to be saved. It's going to hear the word, this word, the truth. There's no error here. You're going to hear this word as it is preached, as it is spoken, it is taught. And the Holy Spirit's going to take these things. And what does Christ say? He reveals the things concerning himself. Parents, use this book to teach your children. And there's many good children books. I mean, not even biblical books. There's nursery rhymes and all these things. But this book, teach your children out of this book. It's go back to the Old Testament, the lessons and the stories. Children, read this book. Read the pages, because when you read these pages, you're going to see all things grace. And that's how God saves, is by his grace. That's what you're going to see when you read this book. Herein, you will discover by his grace and by his enabling many truths, such as our utter ruin in the fall and in Adam's fall. God's supreme holiness and purity. God's way, not our way, of complete salvation. You're going to read and learn of Christ, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of time. You're going to see the Holy Spirit's work of drawing sinners unto the Son. You're going to see your election, which is all of grace and not of our feeble free will. You're going to read and see those whom Christ died for, he will successfully bring with him to glory. You're also going to see that none for whom Christ died can ever fall away. What comfort is that? And lastly, to name just a few things, you open this book and if you see that they apply to you, you're going to see comfort and peace and restful promises. All are said to be yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That's just a few, 9 things I listed that when you look at this book, if the Holy Spirit opens them up to you, you're going to see these things in this book. Thirdly, it says, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Thirdly, we see in this text, the best book reveals the best subject. If this is the best book, this book is going to reveal the best subject. And what is the subject of this book? Well, it's morality. No, it isn't. It's proper how to properly submit to authority and pay taxes and do this and that and how to be in a marriage and all. Yes, this book does cover that. But if you see that's all you see, that's all you haven't seen Christ. You've just seen religion. But this book covers the best of subjects concerning himself. Who needs Christ but those who are sick, weak, and frail, and destitute of needed perfect righteousness? And where can this said perfect righteousness be found? It's only in the Lamb of God, who was sent by God, appointed by God, purposed by God before time was. Simply put, Jesus spoke of Jesus. Now, we aren't to speak of ourselves, but he, the Son of God, he revealed unto them, expounded, made plain in all the holy writ, the things concerning himself. Jesus spoke of Jesus. The diamond cuts the diamond. The master of the house unlocks his own door. The king brings his own guests to his bought and purchased banqueting house. We feast with him at a table already prepared. These are called, and I love this phrase in the book of Ruth. You can go look and ask, if we could talk to Ruth and Naomi about this blessing concerning Christ, she would say, it's handfuls of purpose. It's handfuls of purpose, which she didn't know anything about. But she just said, well, there's stuff here for me to eat. And she gathered them. It was laid there on purpose by Boaz, who's a picture of Christ. So these, if we're going to see the scriptures, if we see the scriptures correctly, we see Christ, the things in the book all concerning Christ. These are handfuls of purpose. So what do you mean? Well, when you grow in grace and the thunderstorms come and the waves get high, you and the Lord brings back a scripture, you're going, oh, that was my stay. And then you realize, he's my stay. So yes, these are handfuls of purpose. Let us go to him who hid the treasure in the field becomes to us the very map and will lead the search to find the treasures. He leads us by the hand. The delectable mountain, says Bunyan, leads to the celestial city, which these are all pictures of Christ, and he is this and more to his beloved church. In order to go to the celestial city, you had to go by those delectable mountains. Those beautiful, beautiful mountains. He who is truth, you think about this text here. He who is truth could have revealed new truth to the travelers, but he prefers to expound from the old paths, the scriptures said. These paths never stale to those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Read it. Time and time and time again. I was reading something. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and I said, I've never seen that. I was almost embarrassed to say that. Because, but it's like, that's okay. It's fresh. This is like manna. It's fresh to those who he's given a hunger and thirst for. Now, if it's just a Sunday once here and there, or maybe a Wednesday, or, you know, No. I hope we would be like these brethren. Did not our hearts burn? Did our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Not the political situation of the day, because that changes. Not about the weather, not about sports, not about money, not about the money market, But didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us about the scriptures? This is fellowship. This is true. This is iron sharpening iron. And they didn't say anything. They spoke. They told him what was going on. He acted like, he didn't know what was going on. But Christ went to the fountain source of all sure, steadfast, and unerring grace. He went to himself. No speculation, no human reasoning, no tradition, no declaration of confessions of faith, but he speaks all truth, pure truth, the only truth. It was good enough for, make a list, Daniel, Micah, Jonah, it was good enough for them. That's all they had. It will be good enough to bring, for Christ to be brought to any sinner of any age and all manner of sinners. It's the Word of God. Let us therefore then dig deep into this glorious mine pit. Let us seek the goodly pearls from this deep sea of God's honoring script. May Christ himself be our instructor. Let us excavate into this quarry of holy scriptures. He himself has done all the work we could never do, never manage, or even come close to fulfilling. This morning, it's actually this morning's scripture verse on my phone. I just looked at this. It's just amazing. I've seen it before. We talked through Hebrews. If you don't get anything, children, parents, men, women, boys and girls, if you don't get anything, listen to this verse. This is God speaking. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that peaceful? It's in the book. It's in the scriptures. It's in the unerring word of God. It's in this God-breathed book. That's a promise. Lay hold of that. He says in John 5, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. Let us not use this book for trivia. Let us not use this book to prove points of theology only. Go to this book to seek God in Christ. Go to this book to prove our own selves. That is, see what we are, which we're full of sin. Go to this book to view the beauties of holiness in the face of Jesus Christ. I say this in closing. He studies rightly. He or she studies correctly, rightly, who seeks to see Christ, his work, his accomplishments, all in this Bible from beginning to end. Because he does say he is the Alpha and Omega. I pray it would be so for us here today and all of us here today. Bruce, would you close us, please?